to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode number 92 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. The countdown to 100 episodes is on, just 8 more to go. I am so excited about that. More to come on episode 100 as we get closer to that. Bringing on the guest real early tonight. This one's going to get in the ditch early. I can promise you that. No need to keep, well, it was supposed to be these guys, but it's only one guy now on hold any longer. You know who he is from across the pond. You can follow the show, the MOATF podcast. Welcome back to the show, Andrew. Sir, how's it going?
It's absolutely splendid. Thank you much for having me. It's nice to be with the world-renowned Brandon Crowe.
Oh, wow. See, we're in the ditch already, folks.
So this 100th episode, are we having a big party?
You know, it's funny. I got to do something unique for it. I mean, it is a milestone. I swear I don't have a thing planned yet. It's been a busy couple weeks, but there's no way that I am going to have episode 100 come and go without trying to do something special for it, because it's been a lot of fun. So I will definitely be working on that over the next couple weeks. So.
Excellent. Well, when you're 100 years old, we get a telegram from the Queen. So I'll see what I can arrange for you.
That's incredible. That's awesome. I did not know that. How's it going? How's the summer? What's going on in your world over there?
Summer. We live in Northern Europe, so summer's been and gone. So we're now getting to the frost. It's actually frosty this morning for the first time. And what is it? It's only the 25th September?
Yes.
But yes, in our world, everything's absolutely splendid, to be honest.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Everything's tickety-boo.
Wonderful. Well, I was going to congratulate David on the new baby, but apparently he is the baby for not coming on the show tonight. He just couldn't handle it. That is all that I can say. And when and if he listens to it, I'll expect appropriate comeback.
Well, as a new parent, and all new parents are the same, they're all militant. They all think they're the most important thing in the world, and they all think none of them ever done it. They think the only persons that ever done it, so he's no different to the rest of us.
That's funny. Well, you know what? That just means that we get to talk a little golf without any interference.
Excellent.
From David. So
that sounds good to me.
So I'll be honest. I am not a watcher of golf, but I love to play golf. And I know you were talking about it on your show this past week with Tiger Woods winning. So what did that mean for golf from your perspective, Tiger Woods getting a win?
Well, the thing is, he's still the biggest draw, isn't he? Even when he was not playing well, when he was injured, whenever Tiger Woods turns up, he is the draw. So I think for golf in general, golf still needs Tiger Woods to be the superstar. And I don't know if you watched it on Sunday, but the scenes on the 18th, when, you know, I've never seen anything like it in golf, to be honest.
That was incredible.
And I don't think it was. I think he'll hopefully win another major or two with a bit of luck and a tailing wind. But I think any time Tiger's playing well is great for the game. That's what I reckon.
So, you know, I'm not normally one for conspiracy theories, but I have a conspiracy theory as to why Tiger Woods won this past weekend. I don't know if you guys have heard about this over there across the pond. I'm sure you have, because it's golf related, but you know, him and Phil are doing this pay-per-view match in Las Vegas here in about a month and a half.
I know. Yeah.
So Tiger winning only is going to help those pay-per-view buys. That's all that I'm saying.
That is for sure. But didn't he beat Phil by about 23 shots or something?
He did. I mean, if this thing's over before the turn, that's just going to be brutal.
That is for sure. Oh. It will be.
Do you get out and play much at all or no?
I do. Well, I don't play as much as I did. I go through spits and spurts. The thing is, when I play, I'm all in. If I play, I play like 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay.
Particularly in the summer after work, that sort of stuff. I'm all in. Really committed. But when I don't play at all, and I mean I don't play at the moment.
Gotcha.
I absolutely love the game. I've played it since I was 14, 15, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that's about when I got into it.
I absolutely love it.
When I was doing my undergrad, I played in two leagues, after work kind of things. And I got out four or five times this summer and actually shot the best round of my life. I shot an 89. Broke 90 for the first time ever.
Oh, I remember. Yes, I remember you. I remember you tweeting about that.
I still relive that round of golf. It's one of those things. Like, man, I remember each hole, each birdie. Like, it was just, it was just like a, you know how they say. Well, you guys don't have baseball, so you may not get this correlation, but everybody here will. You know, like Miguel Cabrera, they used to say like the ball, it just looked like a beach ball to him. Well, I was just like in the zone. I was hitting like a beach ball, but it was just going 250 yards. It was crazy.
When I get out, I go absolutely crazy for it, and I love it. It's the best game in the world, I think, because you can play it from when you're a small child up until the day you die, basically.
Absolutely. So if you guys haven't figured it out, we're just shooting the shit here a little bit here going on. Haven't been able to talk to the MOATF podcast in a while, so we're just going to have some fun here before we get into the nuts and bolts of the usual NASCAR talk. That said, I know the NFL has ventured over your way throughout the years for a game throughout the season. Do you guys watch football? Like, is that a thing? Like, do you guys dial in football on Sundays or?
That's actually interesting because I actually used to play.
American football?
Yeah, I did. I used to play up until I was 18. I used to play what was sort of the low contact stuff.
Okay.
And then we started playing full contact at sort of 16.
Sure.
17, and then when you get to 18, you become an adult and you play with the adults. And that point, I thought, right, I'm going to get broken in half, so I've had enough of this. But yeah, I used to love it when I was a kid. Absolutely, it was my favorite. We, you know, and when we were at school in our break times, with you know, there'd be a group of us playing on the school field.
Sure.
We absolutely loved it. I don't watch it as much now because, to be honest, NASCAR takes up so much time with podcasts and everything else.
Yep.
It's just something else that if I watched it regularly, I'd be on it, you know, what is it? It's 3-4 nights a week now, isn't it?
So, yeah. Yep.
And my missus would never see me, which yep. She'd probably be happy with, but.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, everyone, you know, with my wife, you know, she probably has, she doesn't have it well. Let's put it that way in terms of NASCAR is a long season and she is the first to remind me that it runs from February to November. It's funny. She forgets other things like what race is coming up, but man, she knows the frickin' season in terms of when it starts and when it ends. Football runs September through, if we're talking the playoffs and into the Super Bowl, late January, early February. Baseball's
so that's Christmas for your local team then.
Yes, yeah, 162 baseball. Now, to be fair, we only went to two baseball games, and I didn't watch any of the Detroit Tigers this year because they were just a debacle. But we're I don't know if you saw Sherwin was joking about it. I'm a Lions season ticket holder, but I was at the game Sunday night rooting for Tom Brady and the Patriots. And oh
yes,
my!
I know. I see the photos of you in your shirt.
Oh my God! I was taking a beat, and I deserved to take a beating. I was at my home team, who I'm rooting for any other day of the week. You know, and I'm there Bradying up. I'm freaking fist bumping everybody with a Brady jersey and Patriots gear. And I'm pumped. I'm like, it sucks for the Lions because I wasted all this money on season tickets. But you know what? It's the last time I'm probably going to be able to see Tom Brady play. So I was all in. And oh, what a debacle that was. But good for the Lions. At least the season's not over. And, you know. You know, now I can get back to rooting for the Honolulu Blue, so it's all good.
Yeah, see, we have rugby. I'm a season ticket holder at our local rugby side.
Nice.
Which is the Northampton Saints. It's sort of the highest level of rugby in the UK they play.
Okay.
Or in Europe as well. So it's, you know, it's proper. It's not like the local pub side with 15 blokes after a few pints. You know, it's professional sport. So we go down there and we go to the European games and all sorts. So rugby's our thing, really.
Nice. So there was something you guys mentioned on your show Monday that I had to bring up, and that was about Americans and their bar games with darts and cornhole.
Oh, cornhole. I didn't know, like, cornhole. When we went to Pocono,
yeah.
We got out of the car and there was all these people throwing beanbags at a bit of wood, basically, is what I saw. And I thought, what the hell is that? And David goes, oh, that's cornhole. He knew all about it. I had not a clue. We have darts and snooker and billiards and all kinds of stuff.
So I used to, when I first turned 21, me and a buddy, we'd throw darts at a bar. I loved playing cricket. I thought that was a great game. And my buddy who owns a bar in the few blocks away from the house, they actually have cornhole leagues at the bar. Well, they'll break out all of the tables in the dining room part and set up three lanes of cornhole. But my biggest thing, which, and I'm really excited about because it got released today, my favorite thing to do at the bar is to play Golden Tee Golf. Like, that is my jam.
I've seen that, Golden Tee Golf.
Yes, and
I think
they just came out with their new release that got released yesterday. So I love to play. I could play that for hours. Play it for hours. All right. Let's see here. All right. So how's the renovations on the house coming there, sir?
Well, we're living in a building site, basically. So it's, you can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't keep the dust down.
Yeah.
So, and we've been tearing down, you know, plasterboard ceilings and breaking up. My job this past week is breaking up the old tiled floor. Now, tiles coming off is quite easy, but the adhesive that glues them basically to the concrete floor, not so much. So I've been doing that. We've had the carpenter in today. We're moving the kitchen into a new room, moving a bit of a reconfiguration completely. Got to order some new windows and stuff. So yeah, it's all coming very well. I got my dad as my project manager.
Excellent.
So he's doing it all for me, really.
That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Alrighty, well, what do you say we get the show rolling here? Andrew from the MOATF podcast, yes, is going to talk with us some Euro NASCAR and what they have going on over at their show. We are going to recap the race from Richmond and the Cup, the usual social media shout-outs. Silly season got crazy today, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Lucky dog, lap down picks, fantasy to close it out. Sir, you ready?
I certainly am. You're such a professional. Oh. I love listening to you do that.
Oh, wow. Thank you. All right. No. I wouldn't go that far. All right. So you guys have been doing a lot over at the MOATF podcast. And for anyone that does not listen, you need to start. So first off, you guys do your NASCAR content, but you kind of separated that out a little bit. You used to combine your NASCAR, your iRacing series and all that kind of stuff. Break down what you guys all have going on that goes around the MOATF podcast.
Yeah, well, it's kind of getting a bit nuts, to be honest. So you're quite right. We started the podcast just for something to do, you know, because obviously we enjoy it. And likewise, you know, we get involved in iRacing and that sort of stuff. So we started doing that as well. But obviously, they're two completely different audiences, because people that watch NASCAR and listen to that are not necessarily going to, the blindest bit of interest in us talking about pretend racing cars going left and right, obviously. So we started this thing called the MOATF Esports Network. And the idea is it's multi-platform now. We're on YouTube and we've only really just got onto YouTube, but we've split off the podcast. We're onto YouTube making some videos. We've got some great stuff coming up. We've actually in the process of our own esports tournament, which we've our sponsor, because we're a sponsor. We've got an esports team, which is an iRacing team, which we've got a sponsor for, which is a sim rig manufacturing company.
That's Lux awesome.
Sim24. They're actually superb guys. We're going down some filming their factory on Saturday.
Cool.
And we're launching an esports competition, giving away some of their kit. So, and that's going to be multi-platform across PlayStation, Xbox, and all sorts. So, and obviously PC, because that's where we are. But yeah, so that was that, and we split that off. And then we've got the NASCAR season in Europe, so we cover that. We go to not all the races, but as many as we can get to, which is sort of 80-90% of them. So it's just nuts, really. We're making videos, we're doing podcasts for this, podcasts for that. We cover two of the biggest iRacing championships. We do podcasts for. We've got a charity race for the Make-A-Wish Foundation in November, which is we've had a crazy response from that. So we come up with this idea that wouldn't it be great if we could put on a race for charity? And some of the top world's top iRacers, including the world's top iRacer on the road side, because Ty Majeski is the world's top iRacer on the oval side. We've got people agreed to do it, and we're selling. You can be the teammate with one of the top iRacers, so we're selling that to sort of the likes of the rest of us, if you like, normal people.
That's so cool, so, man.
And RaceBot TV, who broadcast a lot of the iRacing content, they're going to be broadcasting it across the internet. So yeah, it's becoming like a full time occupation almost.
Yeah, right. Without the paycheck.
100%, definitely without the paycheck, but it keeps us out of trouble. That's the main thing.
That's awesome. That's very cool. That's really, really awesome. I hope that draws well, not just for you guys, but in general from a charity perspective, and get you guys some bigger audience. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a double whammy if we can pull it off. It's been gone really well so far.
Awesome.
And the uptake has been really, really good. So
fantastic. All right. So let's talk. I mentioned, I've got the 100th show coming up here soon, and season's going to be over before we know it, as unfortunate that is. Anything planned for 2019 for the show that you want to share or that you guys are looking forward to maybe doing?
Honestly, we haven't discussed it. I suspect in terms of Europe stuff, we'll go to the same races we did this year. In terms of coming over there, we'll almost certainly come to a race, as I think we want to do. It kind of depends on what he can do, obviously, around a young child.
It's sure.
Obviously, I'm a bit more free now. My daughter's coming up for 9, so I have a bit more freedom. I've got the option of tying it in with a holiday as well, because I think we're going to come over there on holiday next year again. So, we haven't really there's nothing major yet. We're still in the planning phase, but definitely the Euro stuff is a no-brainer. We're definitely doing that, and just a case of when we get over there, really.
That's awesome. All right, so speaking of the NASCAR Euro Series, talk a little bit about that. What's the schedule like? How do they vary in points from NASCAR? Where they run at? What are the tracks like? Talk a little bit about the NASCAR Euro Series, because we obviously don't hear too much about that over here.
No, well, you wouldn't. And to be honest, you're missing out. Now, it's kind of surreal being there, because it's very Americanized. They play like the American national anthem. You go to the races, you know, the American national anthem. We had a Donald Trump impersonator at Brands Hatch, which was absolutely priceless, giving a speech, on the PA system on the grid. It
sure.
was really, really funny. Turned up in a helicopter and everything. That was pretty good.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so the races, we have Valencia at the start of the season. They're all, there's 4 races per weekend, because there's 2 divisions. You've got Elite One, and this is the genius art behind it, is all to do with cost saving. So you've got Elite One and Elite Two division. So, and they're different drivers in the same car for the same teams. So some are like the Elite Ones are the proper pro drivers, and the Elite Twos are more young, up and coming, and maybe sort of older guys, gentlemen drivers.
Okay.
So we have Valencia, which we went to in Spain. We have Franciacorta in Italy, which we didn't go to. We have Brands Hatch in the UK, which we did, obviously. We have Tours in France, which we did, which is the only oval. It's a half-mile oval. Then we have Hockenheim, which was last weekend, which we didn't go to, but I was meant to go to, but I couldn't because I was working. And then we have got Zolder, which is the finals in Belgium, coming up in about 3 weeks in mid-October, which we are definitely, well, I'm going to. I'm not sure about David. And, the drivers, you look in Elite One, and the drivers are absolutely top-notch. You've got Alon Day, who was obviously racing at the weekend at Richmond, who, to be fair, I said on, it was not in the best equipment, obviously. It
sure.
was the first time on that kind of track. And my perspective on it was, the fact that you didn't hear about him means that he probably did a good job.
Sure,
because
right?
he wasn't in the news for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So, and he's a really committed, is actually a proper talent, and he's really committed and works his absolute socks off, to be fair. And he's done Indy Lights and all sorts. He's, he's done quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah.
Then you've got Mark Goossens. He's the only driver we haven't managed to sit down with him yet, but he's the only driver when we've ever tried to, we've actually had to make notes. He's done that much stuff. He's done sports cars. He's done, Le Mans GTs. He's done everything. There's There's Le Mans winners in there. Obviously, we've got Bobby Labonte this year, which is the world's most scariest man. And, you know, we've got somebody like Anthony Kumpen, who's sort of a career GT driver, is the uncle of Max Verstappen. We've got, who else we've got? Oh, there's just lots and lots of young drivers. You know, we've got people like Fred Gabillon. Again, he's just shown so much speed in this series. Went over and did well in the Pinty series over in him. Got young Alex Sedgwick, who we had on the show last on our sort of European show, the midweek one this week. And he's a young lad. He's his first season in the series. He's a proper talent. And then in Elite 2, you've got somebody like Ulysses Delceaux, who's a French lad, who's a young man. And he is so fast, it's unbelievable. He is really quick. And you've got Loris Hazeman's in Elite 1, another young talent. The thing is, Brandon, it's cost effective. What they do, they control everything. Everything's controlled centrally. They own out so many tyres. For the whole weekend, I think it's one new set because they're quite short races. They're sprint races. They're like half an hour, 40-minute races.
Okay.
And they have two in a weekend. So there's four races total, two for each category. But, you know, in terms of a budget for a season, you're probably talking about €70,000, which is, you know, there's not that many races, but it's nothing.
And how many races do they have?
They have, over the six weekends, is it, they have 12 races.
Okay. Okay.
So it's not that many, but, you know, Brands Hatch has, you know, 50,000 people come through the gates.
That was going to be my next question. How does it draw? Does it draw well at the gate?
Yeah, Brands Hatch is probably their biggest event of the year.
Okay.
And that includes British superbikes and British touring cars. The Euro NASCAR is almost certainly their biggest event of the year. We went to Zolder last year, the final race. There must have been, you know, I don't know the exact number, but I bet there was 30, 40,000 people there.
So do people make a weekend out of it? Are they camping and tailgating like they do here?
They do have people camping. It's a lot more local people just come for the day, but they do have a lot of people camping. You know, there's always camping available. They advertise the camp. Certainly at Brands Hatch, they advertise the camping available. You know, at Valencia, we didn't really see that so much, but I think that maybe sort of, because Valencia is quite a big city in Spain and the track is pretty much on the outskirts, so there's not a huge need for people maybe to camp.
What's the season run? Like, what month's it start? When's it end?
April to October.
Okay. And they've got a big break in the summer. Space that out. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they have a big break in the summer. But, we obviously love it. It's obviously NASCAR in Europe. The proper cars, they're V8s. They've got the American body shells. The whole weekend is themed around the US and them kind of, you know, they have the cheerleaders and that sort of stuff. And randomly at Zolder, that guy's on the podium just in American football outfits, which we thought was quite funny at the time.
That's funny.
So, what's the point? What are they doing there?
Right.
And it's absolutely, I think it's the best racing series in Europe for the money. It's, and the cost of what these guys and girls are spending to do it. It's definitely the highest profile value for money racing series in Europe right now. And with the oval as well, it adds an extra dimension. It's a purpose-built oval, and it's actually a car park the rest of the year, believe it or not. It's a banked oval, a half-mile banked oval, but it's actually got parking spaces on the banking.
Oh, wow.
So an exhibition centre. So they on the banking, they actually they park cars for the rest of the year. So
what's a race fan going to pay for a ticket to go for a weekend?
I should know that, shouldn't I? Because I've never paid for one. I don't actually know. I genuinely haven't got a clue. Because I've never had to buy a ticket. Because we're on the permanent media list, you see, so we can kind of come and go as we please.
That's fantastic.
We're pretty lucky. So, and I have to say, Gianluca is the PR rep. And we sent him an email last September time and said, oh, you know, we'd love to come and cover your finals. Just thinking he was, Ben, when we'd only been doing the podcast for 2 or 3 months at that time.
Sure.
And we was expecting a, you've got no chance. But of course, they want to get the message out, basically. So
yep.
We went for the one race, and this year they put us on the permanent media list. And Jerome, who owns the series, he's a really nice chap. He's French. Gianluca's Italian. he's French. He's a really nice chap, always good for a chat. And it's like I said to I said on the podcast the other day, you know, we were watching Alan Day. Well, we were watching him, didn't see him much on the television, but I said to my little girl, Danica, I said, you know, I know that man who's driving that car. You know, when we see him at the track, we will go and have a, it's not like, oh, he's a, we will just go and have a chat with him. We don't have to make an appointment, or we just, you know, wander up, shake his hand and have a chat. So it's quite surreal to see somebody you actually know
that's
racing in the Cup Series, to be honest.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's fantastic. All right. Let's transition a little bit here. We've got the Roval coming up.
Yes.
This weekend. When I look at the map of the Roval, and I want to get your take on this, to me, you know, turns 1 through 10 are going to be crazy, especially getting off the track, getting into the infield part of the track. But for me, it's turns 3 and 4 of the oval and turns 13 and 14 of the Roval that I think are going to be most interesting as they come out of the short bus stop into 11 and 12, which is off the backstretch, and going into an unmodified turns 13 and 14, which are basically turns 3 and 4 of the course, and then hitting a wide bus stop through turns 15 and 17 on the front stretch there. I think it's going to be the wide open part of the track that's going to make it interesting.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I think when they're coming off of turn 4 into that bus stop, and it's quite, if I remember rightly, I haven't looked at a map of it. I haven't got it in front of me. I probably should have. But isn't it sort of, you've got, it's quite open on the entry to the to that bus stop chicane in the infield off of turn 4, but it's quite tight on the exit?
Yes, yes. It's wide going in and narrow coming out.
Yeah, I think that's going to be quite interesting. And so, there's a bit, we've actually got some of it. We've got the old version on iRacing. We don't have the new version yet, but in the infield is actually quite, there's quite a bit of elevation change.
Yes.
Which is interesting. And there's a bit on sort of the middle of the track before it comes back out onto the oval again, where it's a couple of left-handers and the car goes really light over some hills. So it's certainly going to be great. I can't wait, to be honest.
I am really looking forward to this one. All right. What do you say there, sir? We talk a little bit of racing from this weekend at Richmond. But before we get to that, let's talk a little truck action. I love to recap trucks. We haven't had trucks in a while. We got another couple weeks yet before they're going to get back on the track. Do you get to watch much truck in Xfinity Series?
I watch them when they're on, if I'm about. It's not like the Cup races are, you know, Sunday nights.
You make time.
Sunday nights is NASCAR night, basically. Truck races, I actually prefer the trucks to Xfinity, if I'm honest.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
So I don't watch a huge amount of Xfinity. We get even less trucks than we do Xfinity, actually.
Okay.
So don't watch a huge amount of either. But, I mean, there really are ways of watching, obviously, I know.
Sure.
But on terms on TV, we don't get that much of either.
Well, the one thing I want to talk about with the trucks is before the truck playoffs started, I picked Haley and Friesen as being the guys that were going to be out. And here we are, one race to go in round one, and Haley's got a win and is a lock to the next round. One more race to go in round one at Talladega. I got a feeling that's going to be a bleep show. When you're going to get the trucks at Talladega with guys that have been dominating the series throughout the season, like Johnny Sauter, Brett Moffitt, that aren't a lock yet, I think it would take a lot for Johnny Sauter not to make it through to the next round, but not locked. And then you got a guy like Matt Crafton, winless. Had a very good race at Las Vegas, but is sitting there fifth and is the first person that's on the bubble because Grant Enfinger's in sixth, but he's got his win. So, and then you've got a hungry Ben Rhodes in seventh who's going to be trying to make things happen. So I've got a feeling that it's going to get dicey at Talladega.
Well, the thing is, you never want to be in the position where you've got to pull out a result at Talladega, do you?
No, not at all.
In anything.
No, you know, there's guys that like doing that. Brad Keselowski has been in a few win-lose situations in terms of being able to move on. And he went out and dominated Talladega. You don't think of someone being able to go out and dominate a restrictor plate race just because of the draft and the way the lines move back and forth. But there have been countless races where Brad Keselowski has been able to go out there and dominate Talladega in the fall race. So it'll be curious to see, you know, truck series, definitely, you know, a little slower, younger competition out there, playoffs, smaller playoff field, man.
Yeah.
For the casual fan, this race is going to be fantastic.
Oh yeah. 100%. Absolutely. I mean, I there are those out there that can't stand plate racing and won't watch it. You know, for us growing up as, you know, being Europeans, for us, that's what NASCAR was we only sort of ever heard of Daytona.
Sure.
Really. So for us, plate racing was NASCAR. We didn't notice plate racing at the time, of course.
Right.
Because I don't suppose it was back then. But so, yeah, I absolutely love it because that was our first introduction to the sport. And I would be happy if they had more plate races, to be honest.
You know, so
not a very popular opinion, I know. No, but.
Well, you know, I'm with you there. I don't want to add more plate races. I am not thrilled with the new package that they're talking about for next year. I got crucified a little bit a few weeks ago when they ran the package for the Xfinity series at Indy, and I just said I didn't hate it and took a little bit of a thrashing for that. You know, so I didn't mind it, but if I'm being honest, I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to manufacture a race. I want there to.
Oh no! You don't want every week. That's for sure.
Right. I want there to be a race. I don't want to create a race, and I don't want to create disasters and debacle. So, from that regard, I get why I took the small thrashing that I took. But that said, I don't want to change Talladega in terms or Daytona. You know, those have been a staple. So you obviously want to keep those, I think. You know, you want to keep the two Daytona, the two Talladega plate races. I'm not a fan of adding more to them, but I'm not. I would be opposed of getting rid of those four.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. Absolutely 100%.
All right, let's move over to the Xfinity Series, which saw the return of Mr. Dale Earnhardt Jr., who ended up winning stage two of the race. Daniel Hemric picked up the win for stage one, and Christopher Bell reinserting himself in the dominance factor, picking up the win. Christopher Bell picks up win five of the season, holding off last week's first time winner in Ross Chastain. I want your take. What's more impressive, Christopher Bell winning his fifth race in a series that gets dominated by cup guys, or Ross Chastain's third race in the seat and could easily have had two wins, finished second, and already has a win?
That's a very good question. I'm maybe not the person to ask. However, I think Ross Chastain is probably the most impressive thing, simply because he's been given the opportunity and to get in a good car, and it's kind of make or break, isn't it? You're either going to sink or you swim.
Yes, yes.
And you probably won't get the opportunity. I mean, Harvick was pretty I know you're a fan, but he was pretty disingenuous a couple of weeks ago, it has to be said.
Try being at that race with PETM.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to have seen that one, it has to be said. Definitely would like to see that.
I was outnumbered.
I'm not surprised, because he was being an arse, basically, wasn't it?
He was Harvick of old, that's for sure.
Well, he sometimes is, and quite often, one of the things I don't like about him is he's got a habit of blaming the team. Things go wrong, he's blaming the team. And you look at the great drivers, if they're going to do that, he always do it behind closed doors.
Yes, no, I'm with you. He is definitely not. He's not been private about shaming the pit crew and things of that nature, which, you know, that's definitely a flaw and something that is a little hard pill to swallow every once in a while. You know, there's no I in team, and you need your pit crew to, you know, make it happen for you. You know, look at Brad Keselowski's.
Not change themselves, are they?
No, exactly. You know, you look at Brad Keselowski's pit crew, who has probably helped if not for the pit crew, he may not have won three in a row. You know, and you don't hear him thrashing on his pit crew. Even though they want Harvick to win too, if you're publicly thrashing, you never know what type of mental mind people could be in terms of trying. Well, hey, you're gonna give us an earful. Well, you know what? We're gonna slow you down a half a second on pit road. we can get you back too. Not that it benefits anybody with that. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
I think that, but to go back to what you asked me originally, Ross Chastain, because he had the opportunity and it was either make the most of it or maybe not get another one. It was sink or swim, and he's absolutely pulled it out of the bag and he's performed. Whereas Christopher Bell, has to be said, he's got to perform in that car, hasn't he? So he doesn't have any choice and he's had the whole season to do so. So, yeah, Ross Chastain.
I'm with you there. I don't disagree with you at all there. So last year at this point in the Xfinity Series, a race into the playoffs, of the 12 that made it in last year, there were 7 wins of the Xfinity regulars last year. This year, there are 12 wins by Xfinity regulars, but 10 of them are by 2 drivers. So we've only had a total of 4 Xfinity regulars that have won a race. But the mere fact that you've got 2 Xfinity regulars that were able to go out and dominate the season, I think that's incredible.
Yeah, 100%. Not going to disagree with it. Can I just one honorable mention for Catherine Legg?
Yes.
Because she is one of us, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
And she's done everything. She's done Indy cars, and she had a huge crash at, I think it was mid-Ohio or somewhere years ago. If you want to Google it, she had absolutely a monumental crash in an Indy car. But yeah, she finished 28th in, so that's not too bad.
No, not at all.
I don't know what sort of equipment she's in, but yeah, Catherine Legg, one of us, so always good to give the Brits a mention, obviously.
Absolutely. She didn't finish last.
Exactly.
The fans, though, the fans went home happy. I know I didn't expect Dale Jr. to go out there and win, but the fact that he led.
We did. That's why we picked him. We were the only people that picked Dale Jr.
You were the only people that picked him. I was shocked by that.
And I didn't actually, because like I said to you on Twitter, I actually didn't have the opportunity to listen to last week's show before we picked it. I didn't know if it was a valid pick or not. And you and Mick Rose were winding me up.
Yes, yes.
A treat.
Well, we had to.
Points or not. And I'll get my homework and everything.
But the mere fact he was able to go out there and lead 96 laps, not only finish in the top 5, picked up a stage win. I don't know how anybody left the track Friday night with a bad taste in their mouth. That had to be awesome to see.
Yeah, 100%. Do you think we'll see him again at all in one of the top 2 series, or do you think that's it?
I definitely don't think we're going to see him in Cup. I don't think we'll see him in Truck. But if he had finished 20th 2 laps down, I'd say, you know what, he's probably done. But just knowing what I know from talking to these guys that want to go out there and just win races, the mere fact he was able to be out of a seat for so long, finish 4th, lead laps, and do well. If somebody came to him with the right offer, I could see him maybe running a couple tracks like Richmond. I don't see him getting in racing at Daytona or Talladega.
Somewhere like Martinsville. He likes Martinsville. Well,
so. You know, I could see him doing a few short tracks in the Xfinity Series. I don't think he's going to go off and run, you know, dirt races or anything like that, like we see Kyle Larson doing and things of that nature. But I think if the right opportunity presented itself to where, and obviously not from a money standpoint,
he's not short of a few quid, that's for sure.
No, but if it were to help bring something in for Junior Motorsports and being able to help the Xfinity team grow in some capacity, you know, if it's a matter of, hey, if you run this car 2 races, you know, we'll fund half the season for a developmental driver. That's something I could see him going out and doing.
Yeah, I do agree. I think that's the only reason we'll see him in a car again is if it's for Junior Motorsports and sponsorship.
Yeah.
And I do think that I think the opposite to you actually on the other bit is that if he'd have gone and finished, you know, two laps down in 25th, you probably definitely see him again.
He wants redemption.
He ran. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
He's like, no, we're not going out like that. But because he ran so well, he might think, well, I'm about done unless it's, you know, a sponsor requirement, really.
Fair enough. I'm with you. I could see that side too. Tough break for Allgaier, who was running top five both stages, got caught up late with Cole Custer on the track, finishing 32nd. Cole was able to hold on and bring it home 15th, not the finish either of those guys wanted for the first race of the playoffs. And can we talk about Elliott Sadler for a minute? Elliott Sadler finished 6th and 5th in the standings, 22 top 10s in 27 races, an average finish of 8.5. I mean, you don't get more consistent than that when we're talking about racing cars. And the sad thing is the consistency is killing him. Last year, average start 9.9, average finish 9.4. This year, average start 9.3, average finish 8.5. I mean, just... He's a statistician's dream in terms of averages.
He hasn't got it.
He can't get that outlier.
Line, though, has he?
He can't get above that standard deviation. So it's you know, it's crazy for him. I feel horrible. I hope he's able to go out there and get a win over the next few races that these guys have. And how about Shane Lee? Dude's ran 8 races at tracks he's never ran at the top 3 series, including Daytona, Talladega. He's got a finish of 14.4. I think he could have had a higher finish. He's had a few mishaps late in the races. But I'd really like to see this guy get a little bit more seat time next year. RCR has struggled in the Cup the last few years, but maybe working on the development side with Daniel Hemric, and hopefully over the next couple of years, RCR can maybe rebuild the Cup stable a little bit and continue to grow the Xfinity series with a guy like Shane Lee.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, if I'm honest, but yeah, if that's what he's done over the opportunities had, then yeah, he certainly deserves a bit more, doesn't he?
He has not had a lot of seat time. Like I said, he's ran 8 races, and I think kind of run under the radar. I think he's done a phenomenal job in that seat, and like I said, I definitely like to see him a little get a little bit more. Over to the Xfinity standings. Last week, I picked Reed, Cindric, Truex, and Jones to be the first four out in the Xfinity series. Right now, I'm 3-for-4. Unfortunately, Cole Custer, with his bad finish this week, dropped him down to 9th. And the crazy thing is he finished 15th. And Allgaier, who finished 32nd, escaped rather unscathed thanks to his bonus points. So it just goes to show you just how important these bonus points are throughout the playoffs in all three series. So, and these guys, they're running the Roval. So anything, I'm curious
right,
to watch
I've
this
got,
one.
I've got a, right now, I've got, but I'm glad you brought that up because I said on our podcast yesterday, yesterday, that the Xfinity wasn't running the Roval. And do you know why I said that?
Because
when you look at the schedule, it was basically because I'm a moron, obviously. That's the main reason. But if you look at we use the NASCAR Xfinity iPhone app, and it says, if you go on the Bank of America Roval 400 is 130 laps of the road course. On the Xfinity tab, it's 200 laps of Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Ah,
I just assumed
they didn't have it up
that it was going to be the... So in my defense, it's NASCAR's fault, not mine.
Fair enough. All right, let's get over to the Cup Series here. Unlike last week at Vegas, where 9 drivers finished outside the top 10 and 7 finished outside the top 20, different story this week at Richmond. All of the playoff drivers finished inside the top 20, with 12 finishing in the top 12. Unfortunately, David is not here to walk us through Kyle Busch's 50th win. I'm surprised he didn't record a snippet at least just to be able to rub that in my face. But that said, he's not here to talk about it, but we are. So I guess we'll have to talk about it. 50 wins Cup Series. That's quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is. I actually said yesterday when we spoke about it on ours, it's like, I'd love to come up with some kind of reason to argue with David about how good that achievement is, but I'd just look like an idiot if I did so.
Yeah, no, you can't argue it. It's a hell of an accomplishment, and he's done a hell of a job throughout all three series.
And he's still so young. I mean, how many races is he going to win?
I think he could easily get to Jeff Gordon at 93. Easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because he's got 10, 12 years left.
At least.
If he wants it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least.
You get into the talk about, can you mention him with Petty in 200? Because he's closing in. I think he's, what, 7 wins away from a total of 200 in the three series. And, I get that argument. I get the argument of the equipment that he's in. There's a ton of arguments either way. The only thing that I will say is regardless of your equipment, to still be able to go out and do that in such a short time span, there's definitely a lot of skill that goes beyond the equipment that he's driving. So,
yeah, the thing is as well, in the cup level, yeah, he's in, Toyota and Gibbs have had great cars for quite a few years now, but, they're not the only ones with great cars, let's face it.
No.
So, he's not like he's... fair enough. His equipment in the other series is maybe does give him an advantage, but it certainly doesn't in the cup because it's that competitive. And like I said yesterday, the fact that he's only got one championship with all those wins over the years he's done them just highlights what an impressive record Jimmy Johnson's was to do to get 7 and the 5 in the row.
Absolutely. Can't disagree with you there.
It just makes that stand out a bit more, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. A couple highlights here. Eric Almirola, in my opinion, ran probably one of his best races all year. Ran top 5 all 100%. Night, finished top 5. I was really hoping that all 4 SHR cars were going to get a win this year. And it's still not out of possibility there, but Eric Almirola definitely had a great race this past weekend. And back-to-back decent finishes for Austin Dillon. 11th at Vegas, 6th at Richmond. I had him written out of the equation, and he's sitting in 10th.
Yeah, he 100%. We did as well, but this week he was really impressive. Even more so than last week, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see here. Jimmy Johnson, quiet day, top 10, and a good day for HMS all around. 3 out of 4 in the top 12, which was pretty good. So some surprises for me. First time in 4 races, Logano and Hamlin finished outside of the top 10 at Richmond. And one other thing for me, the big 3 came to play at Richmond. They have been non-factors. Kyle Busch, Harvick, and Truex the last few races. First time a big 3 has won since Kevin Harvick at MIS 5 races ago. And you may think that's not that long of a time, but when you look at the season this far, for one of those 3 to go 5 races without a win, that's been
a while.
That
is a long time.
Yeah.
It certainly has. But one thing you notice about it, and I noticed it certainly in the early stages last week as well, before they all bent their cars, is that the cream, you look at when the ticker's going along the top, the cream always rises. The green playoff drivers are always near the front.
Yes.
All 16 of them, with the odd sort of straggler maybe there here and there. But the cream, they're in the playoffs for the reason. The cream definitely rises. Come playoff time, doesn't it? That's
absolutely
fairly obvious.
Absolutely. Well, and I think it's set in that, we got a wild card race coming up that we have no idea what that could result in.
Oh, it's going to be great, isn't it?
Yes.
Especially with the points being so tight as well.
Yes. All right. So before we get to the standings, I got to ask, does Jimmy Johnson go winless in 2018?
Yes. As much as it pains me to say it, he's not going to win a race. Unless something... Well, no, he's not going to win the race.
I like it. I am going to give you my answer later on that one.
Okie doke.
All right. Keselowski's winning streak is over for the moment. Kyle Busch picked up his 7th win on the season, securing him a spot in the next round. Kevin Harvick also a lock into the next round, as is, I believe, Martin Truex Jr. As long as they crank the engine up on Sunday, they are good, which has got to be a relief for them. But there are a lot of other guys that are going to be trying to vie for these 12 spots. And I got to be honest, I'm shocked at who's at the bottom. Clint Bowyer, with 2 wins in the regular season, is on the outside looking in. I am shocked that Clint Bowyer's down there. You know, I think you could argue either way. Jimmy Johnson being outside of the top 12 right now. Eric Jones, I kind of thought that was he was going to be there, not because I got anything against him, but he just didn't have the consistency or the playoff points to lead me to think he was going to be able to carry it on to the next round. And then Denny Hamlin.
Yeah, I know. Well, nobody's sorry to see Denny Hamlin down, let's face it, but it is actually quite a surprise.
No, I'm yeah, and I, you know, and then you look, like I said a minute ago, you know, Austin Dillon. He very well could be moving on to the round of 12, which I would have been shocked to say that. And, you know,
I certainly would have lost money on that one. That's for
yes,
sure.
I would have too. You know, and it was at this time I was going to ask David to remind everybody of our bet that we had going on, but he's not here to do that. So I will just remind everybody that at some point in the offseason, David's going to be losing a bet and is going to have to wear a shirt that I design. And, you know, this isn't going to be a sticker slapped on this shirt. This shirt is going to be legit in terms of him having to profess his love for Kevin Harvick when Kevin Harvick finishes ahead of Kyle Busch when this thing's all said and done. So I am looking very forward. Very
so am I am definitely want Harvick to win that battle, that's for sure.
If nothing else, just because I'll get to embarrass David.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to hit some social media here real quick. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Make sure you subscribe, download, check out the show on Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, and of course, Podbean and iTunes. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers, giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. And you get a Lap Traffic t-shirt. That should be worth it right there. And speaking of new followers, some shout outs over to some new followers. Jason at Mr. Wolfpack underscore JTC from Wake Forest and a fan of Dale Jr. Patrice at PPatrie33 loves NASCAR. Joanne at Kentucky JB fan, longtime Jeff Burton fan. Don't see a lot of people about Jeff Burton anymore. That's awesome. and Jonathan at John Papa 1890 from Belmont, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, everyone. Don't forget, if you want a sticker and a koozie, fill out the contact page on the website, and I will send one out to you. All right, sir, you got anyone you want to give a shout out to?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, not really.
No. All right.
No, not at all. Follow us on Twitter at MOATF Podcast.
Absolutely.
But no, I'll say hello to Kathleen because she's awesome.
Kathleen is fantastic. I love Kathleen.
Yes, she is. So I'll say hello to Kathleen. But I'm not really a shout out kind of guy. You know, when you got people go on the radio, we have a quiz in the UK every day. It's the Pop Master. It's kind of where, when we did our quiz, it's where we got the inspiration from. And at the end of every sort of contestant finishes, it's 10 questions, and Ken Bruce, the show host, says to the guest, he says, is there anybody you want to say hello to? And every day I think, no, you're on the radio, what are you saying hello to people for? you say hello to them when you get home. I want to say hello to my wife and my kids. Oh, what are you doing that for? What a waste of time. Right. So no, I'm not that guy, so.
Love it. All right, let's move right along over to the NASCAR silly season. Things have gotten out of control today alone. So I thought it'd be cool if we kind of just ran down kind of where we're at as far as the NASCAR silly season stands.
That's, you'll have to remind me some of it. Is that much going on? I've forgotten. Yes. I'm actually going through Reddit now because I saw something earlier.
All right. So go ahead.
Yeah, you remind me and I'll.
All right. So we've got, we know Kurt Busch is going to be out of the 41, and we know it's not going to be Cole Custer. Still not sure who's going to be in the 41. Pretty sounds like a lock that Kurt's going to be in the number one at Chip Ganassi, although that's not been confirmed. We know that Ryan Newman is out at RCR and moving over to Roush. And excuse me, no one's been named for the 31 seat. There was some talk about maybe Ty Dillon, but Ty Dillon came out and said no, he's staying in the 13.
Well, he's on a long-term contract anyway, hasn't he?
Yes,
so he signed a new long-term deal last year. So
we got the seat open at RCR. We've got Matt DiBenedetto, who announced he's leaving Go Fast Racing, and not anything announced for him yet. There's the talk about Martin Truex Jr. being out of a ride and Suarez being out of a ride, with talks of Truex going to the 19. We announced today that AJ Allmendinger is going to be out at JTG after this season. And then some Xfinity news. We got Noah Gregson going to Junior Motorsports, replacing Elliott Sadler next year. So
yes, in the number one.
There is a lot going on. Some that maybe hasn't been confirmed, but it's pretty good. You got the 95 with an open seat, which, to be honest, with them switching to Toyota, I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe Truex there if he's not at the 19, or vice versa with Suarez maybe going to the 95 is probably a little bit more likely. But there is a lot of silly season news throughout all of the manufacturers and the big teams. The only really quiet news is with Hendrick. I think they're pretty much a lock with their four guys.
Yeah, I think certainly... Obviously, Jimmy Johnson's not going anywhere, and they'll find the money from somewhere to run him, even if Hendrick puts it in his own pocket. And Bowman and Byron have done an absolutely cracking job, I think, this season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think people maybe would have had a little bit higher expectation, but I don't think that was necessarily the right expectation. I think they had a great season. You know, the Bowman making the playoffs, you know, it's on the up tick for those guys. You know, you got Chase Elliott, who got his first win, and is
he's a lifer, basically. He's there for life. He'll be there for life. Won't
yep. So, yeah, exactly. And, you know, yeah, no, I think they had a great year. So, yeah, it's, you know, you got Roush, you got RCR and SHR with some moves that are going to be coming in the offseason.
The one person I want to see land a good car is DiBenedetto.
I hope he lands a good car. He's a great guy. Yeah. You know, maybe the 31 could be a good ride for him. You know, that would definitely be a step up. You know, maybe not going to be out there competing for wins week in, week out, but could definitely be out there competing for top 10s and top 15s, which would be a vast improvement for him.
Certainly would. And he's the one driver that whenever sort of you listen to Jeff Gluck's 12 questions, and a few people have said, you know, the most underrated driver has come up a few times, and a lot of them have actually, you know, have said DiBenedetto. So I'd definitely like to see him in your car.
Absolutely. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, I will be right back with Andrew from the MOATF podcast as I have a quick break with Mr. Aaron Studwell. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back again, as he is each and every week. Very exciting to get some weather from the wonderful Mr. Aaron Studwell. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at RaceWeather and check out the website raceweather.net. It's always a tongue twister for me. Mr. Aaron Studwell, good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm glad you can get it out. Otherwise, I'd have no promotions. My gosh.
How's it going this evening?
It's going well. Back in the office today, oldest stepson or oldest son. I don't like having this distinction on there, but he just got married, and it was a magnificent, wonderful event. It was great to get home, spend some time with my wife, family, and just really kind of enjoy the whole environment. Flew back last night and back at the office today. So
excellent. Always busy, you are. Always busy.
Yes, yes.
Well, so
and people always have to remind me that I need to be busier.
Well,
oh, great. Thank you.
I don't know if that's possible. You seem pretty busy. with the wedding, were you able to see any of Michigan's domination over Nebraska?
Yes. As a matter of fact, because it was a, I was going to say 5 o'clock kickoff for the wedding. It was a later start for the wedding, so yes, I actually got to see most of it.
Okay.
And, you know, second half, we were just kind of, it's like the Brandon McCaffrey run. I'm like, I'll call back.
Right.
saw most of the first half, and it looked good, but you don't know the level of competition.
Yes.
And I can say the same thing about Northwestern. I don't know who they are.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah, it's, you know, we got Northwestern Maryland, which should be a couple cupcake games coming up. And then the real test, three-game stretch, Wisconsin, MSU, and Penn State. That that will define their season, that those three games that are coming up in a couple weeks.
Always seem to do that. And you go, we'll go, theoretically, we'll go 5-1 and get to Wisconsin. And see where we're at.
Yes, absolutely. What's the how's the weather looking for this weekend with Northwestern?
Yeah, now that we're into fall, we can actually say quite seasonal, because it's going to be quite fall-like. If anybody's going to the game, prepare for a cool morning with temperatures on the north side of Chicago in the low 40s.
Wow. Wow. All right.
Yeah. High near 60, which is about 5 to 6 degrees below normal. Variably cloudy skies, so dry. Northwesterly winds, 8 to 12 miles an hour.
Okay.
Those will start to drop off through the afternoon, so wind shouldn't be a factor. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to be, you know, a little brisk, but for late September in Chicago, it's close to seasonal.
Excellent. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Let's get to some racing weather this past weekend, Richmond. We stayed dry. It was looking kind of questionable there midway through the race.
Yeah, the rain held off. I was kind of watching the radar from the wedding reception, and Brian and I were coordinating on that. And, you know, stayed about 20, 25 miles away. I didn't really kind of dig into the whys, but sometimes you get kind of dry air around a region, and it just was moving more northeast than east, and very fortunate that, yeah, it stayed away from the track long enough for the race to get finished.
Excellent, excellent. Now, all right, we're going to the Roval. Are we going to be able to have a memorable race without any weather interference?
Yes, we'll actually have two memorable races without any weather excellent. Interference. Yes, the only chance, when we'll go through in order, Friday we do have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms.
Okay.
So that could impact practices and potentially, I think, cup qualifyings on Friday, high near 80. Saturday, partly sunny skies. Morning showers are possible, though not likely. Again, high near 80. Sunday, partly sunny skies. We could see some clearing in the afternoon, so we may actually see some sunshine this weekend. Highs in the upper 70s. Again, a risk of morning showers, but definitely right now not looking like either Saturday or Sunday are going to be rain impacted. No rain tires will be required. No wipers will be required.
Excellent, excellent. I'd hate to see a first-time event like this that's had builds get have weather interference. So I'm glad that everything is looking on the bright side to go off without a hitch.
If it stays on track, we're definitely looking good. Just carrying these little light chance of showers, and but I'm feeling optimistic about at least Saturday and Sunday for some good solid racing.
Excellent, excellent. All righty, sir. Well, thank you again, as always. Everyone, make sure you're checking out Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and checking out RaceWeather.net on the web. Sir, pleasure as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Great talking to you. Talk to you soon.
See ya. All right. Always great talking to Aaron and getting the weather report and talking some Michigan football. I love it. All right. I am back with Andrew from the MOATF podcast. And, sir, it is time for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks. Are you ready for this segment?
It's sort of.
I like that. I like it. All right. So we will we'll give you our picks. Then I'll drop the calls in from the waiver on hotline, and then we will get to the tweeted responses, sir. So I'll let you start it off. Who is your lucky dog of the race?
Well, this is why I'm only sort of ready, because I've actually got two lucky dogs and no lap down, because I'm a positive person.
By all means, sir.
So my two lucky dogs, they are Ross Chastain, for the reason we said earlier, because he's absolutely nailed it when he's had to.
Absolutely.
And NASCAR in general, because the on-track product since the summer, and most of the season, in fact, has been absolutely superb. I don't think they need to change anything.
The on-track racing has definitely gotten better. I think with a couple tweaks, it could be better without having to throw plates on cars. So I'm with you there.
Yeah, I think the product since the middle of summer has been absolutely brilliant. So they're my lucky dogs. I'll think of a lap down in a minute.
All right. I like it. So my lucky dog is the resurgence of the big three. They needed to come back, come back to the track ready to roll. And they definitely did this weekend at Richmond, all three having very good finishes. All right. So my lap down of the race weekend is the guy whose shirt I'm actually wearing right now, Mr. Clint Bowyer. I love Clint, but two wins and on the outside looking in, I was not expecting that. So the Clint Bowyer little relapse is my lap down. So did you come up with one?
I did. I'm going to say Kevin Harvick just because.
I love it. I love it. All right. I am going to drop in the calls here real quick and be right back with Andrew.
Hey, Brandon, Jeff Legg, Grey Wolf Pack 5 on Twitter. Another great week of racing. I'm going to jump right into my lucky dog and lap down here. Lucky dog, you, Brandon, in celebration of your 7th wedding anniversary, you're a lucky man to have a spouse that allows you to chase your dream and do the podcast and all. I know how lucky that is because in June I celebrated 37 years with my NASCAR girl. So, that's a cool thing, although I got to admit, mine would never let me wear a Kevin Harvick jacket in our wedding pictures. But so there you're the lucky dog. Lap down, myself. Reason being, I got all set up to watch the race on Saturday, got all comfy, propped up in the bed, and my TV on and everything. About halfway through the first stage, fell asleep, woke up the final lap of the race to watch Kyle win. And it's like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I love Richmond, and I just missed the whole freaking race. So I'm lap down. Better luck next time, I guess. Looking forward to the Roval this week, and I was just wondering what we're going to see. So here we go. Go Harvick. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for calling in. And thank you for giving me the Lucky Dog Award there. Appreciate that. If you guys missed that, I tweeted out a picture Monday of some wedding pictures, throwing it back. Yes, me and NASCAR by marriage celebrated 7 years of a wedding bliss. And she did let me take some pictures in my NASCAR Kevin Harvick, the old black Budweiser jacket. Back from 2011 there. So, yes, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And, yeah, I'm very excited to see what this Roval package is going to bring to us. Thanks for calling, as always. And we got one more call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Brandon, what's up, man? I figured I'd leave you a drunk Wave Around Hotline call because I haven't done that yet. So I watched about, I don't know, probably more than half the race. There's a good race. Kyle Busch won. What are you going to do? It happens. My man Chase came in fourth. That's good. Apparently one of my housemates broke his nose tonight. I wasn't there, so it sucks for him. In other news, get the bleep button ready because we're banged up right now. Lucky dog going to the bar. Absolutely. Lucky dog. Lap down is when you're at the bar and a dude walks right up next to you and uses the urinal next to you. That's not cool. That's a lap down. Lap down me riding in the bed of my buddy's truck, getting back to the house. That's another lap down. Housemate getting his nose broken is also a lap down. And I'm sure whatever you did this weekend was also a lap down because we're all pretty similar. So this Wave Around Hotline's in the ditch. It's going to end in the ditch. Hopefully, you're real banged up like me. Have a good night, man.
Oh, wow. Andrew Kantzian with an awesome call on the Wave Around Hotline. You ready for this? Called in 1:51 Sunday a.m. Yes. At first, he didn't sound too far in the ditch, but yeah, it got a little... got in the ditch, that's for sure. love when you call in, brother. And it sounds like you had an eventful weekend. I will promise you, mine was not nearly as dramatic there as having a ride in the bed of a pickup truck or anything like that. But all right, man, thanks for calling. Can't wait to hear your call next week. All right. Big thanks to Mr. Andrew Kansian and Grey Wolf Pack 5 for calling in. All right, sir, are you ready to get to the tweeted responses?
I have insults at hand. Yes, I'm ready to go.
Excellent. Perfect. David at DFlint14's Lucky Dog, Eric Almirola, and the entire 10 team ran top five all night. Have a decent cushion heading into this last race of round one. A lap down. Ryan Blaney just have been way off the last month or so, and honorable lap down goes to the number Xfinity team. Change the number already. Sir, any thoughts?
No, I don't disagree with that. And I don't know who he is, so I'm not going to insult him, that's for sure, because he might be huge.
Well,
and he might live around the corner from me, for all I know. So
here's someone you do know. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick.
He has not a clue what he's talking about. Not a clue. Whatever it is, he'll be cheating.
I love it. Oh, Mick's lucky dog. Austin Dillon, strong run and good finish. Most had him written off round one. A lap down. We've got a theme going here. The number 60 in the Xfinity series. Horrible luck. Any comments to Mr. Mick Rose?
Yes, I'm not following your picks again because they're useless.
People shouldn't follow mine either.
No, that's true. Mick Rose is, I absolutely love interacting with Mick Rose. He's an absolute legend.
He is so cool. That's so cool.
Yes, he is.
Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's lucky dog goes to Kyle Busch for successfully completing the left to first challenge on Saturday night. And 2 weeks in a row, lap down goes to the Roush Xfinity 60 car for back-to-back DNFs and the 15th DNF this season. So, yes.
Yeah, I've got to say about that is I don't like him because he picked Kyle Busch as his lucky dog. And also because he's been completely unoriginal with his Xfinity pick. There you go. Nice.
Roger at Rojo D's lucky dog. Us, because we got to see Junior race. Lap down. Us, because Cup Night racing at Richmond is blah.
Cup Night, I agree with this guy, because Cup Night racing anywhere is a pain in the neck.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because for us, it starts in the middle of the night.
Yes, that would be a bummer. I can see that.
Yes, everything. Ideally, what you could do, if they move the races to, like, I don't know, let's say 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning your time.
That'd be good for you.
That would be perfect, yeah.
See, that's how we feel when we got to get up at 6 a.m. to watch, like, the NFL when they run their game over there in London with you guys.
That's true. We have three games now, I think.
And yeah, you guys definitely have a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah, Wembley holds 90,000 in it, and you can't get a ticket for love nor money.
That's no kidding. Wow, that's crazy. See, I like the Saturday night races because it opens up Sunday for Football Sunday, so I don't have to try to squeeze you know, it's the me, myself, and I, so, you know.
Yeah, and I never know what to do on a Sunday night when there's no NASCAR to watch.
John at D Nader's a lucky dog. Noah Gregson going to Junior Motorsports. Let's see what he can do. Lap down Hamlin. He knows how to qualify up front, but when the green flag drops, he does too.
I can't disagree with that. Now, the Noah Gregson thing has, because that's not the first of the KBM guys to go in that direction. So is there some kind of arrangement there, do you think?
Only because it's different manufacturers, I'd be leading to say no.
It's quite interesting, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Eddie at 3Wide_FastEddie's lucky dog, Dale Jr. It looked like he never left the driver's seat, led 96 laps, won a stage, fourth place finish. Lap down, Blaney, his lack of confidence showed on his worst track and now has to depend on the Roval Madness.
Yeah, again, can't disagree. And the Dale Jr. thing, we picked him because obviously we know what we're doing. We knew he'd have a good run.
Clearly.
But
clearly.
The thing is, most people think he can walk on water anyway. So So, why not? You know, people are just happy to see him, aren't they?
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you for tweeting your picks and calling the Wave Around Hotline. Make sure you send me your picks or call the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538, anytime from the time the checkered flag waves until Tuesday. And you will get your tweets and calls on the show and be a part of it. It's awesome. It's one of my favorite segments of the show. All right. It is time for some fantasy talk, sir. It is time for fantasy. Just a reminder.
Where were you? In 27th place?
We'll get there. We'll get there. Don't rush it. Just a reminder, get your picks in 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the interaction on Twitter going. DraftKings, I actually hit for a couple bucks this weekend, which I was pretty pleased about, but then lost it on football Sunday night. So
I haven't done DraftKings because when I was in France, I couldn't reload my account because it doesn't let you do it abroad, and I just forgot. I haven't done it for a few weeks, which is. I've been doing the national lottery instead because it was 115 million this week. So
I
didn't win it. So
One of our nationals is up to 308 million right now. So
wow.
Yes. I only play it when it gets above 300 million because anything below that, you know, I wouldn't.
It's not worth having.
No, not at all.
Yeah, anything based like for us, anything below 100 million is not worth having. So what's the point?
All right, we got 8 races to go in segment 3. Unlike the last couple of weeks where nobody picked Brad Keselowski, we've had a lot of winners picked this week. 10 players picked Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series. 11 players picked Kyle Busch for Cup. Week high was David James with 112 points with his picks of Martin Truex Jr. and Christopher Bell. Second week high was 105 points with fan favorite Kathleen McDonald with her picks of Kevin Harvick and Daniel Hemric. Able to hold on to first place for the second week in a row of the last segment is Mr. Robert Kiplinger with 223 points. Jamie Rowden is in second with 218. David James is in third with 210. Tommy Witt in fourth with 204. Kathleen McDonald in fifth with 203. John Elliott in sixth with 202. John Etwinsel in seventh with 200. Jeff Legg is in eighth with 195. We got a two-way tie for ninth with 192 with Mick Rose and Kayla Jordan. And Mr. Andrew Canton wraps out the top 10 with 191. It is a close battle there in the top 10 standings for segment 3. You know whose name isn't up there is mine and the MOATF podcast.
We are looking down on you from our lofty position of 26th.
Yeah, well, no, actually, you guys are in 23rd because there's a couple ties there.
Oh, are we?
Yes, you're in 23rd with 152, and I am in 24th with 146. So my only goal is to finish ahead of you guys because if you guys beat me this segment, you will have completed the sweep. Over me.
That is true. And the thing is, we picked Logano, which you'd think for Richmond to be an absolute shoe-in safe bet, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, and I picked him too. So, I got to make sure not to pick who you guys pick if I want to have any shot of getting ahead of you guys.
Yeah, well, our picks, we've gone absolutely, we've actually gone for it this week.
Yes.
When we get to that bit. And have you noticed how Kathleen's form has upturned since she's retired?
I have noticed that. She's got a little more time to spend on that's research
she
and stats.
That's it. That's what she's doing. She's become stato.
Yes. Over to the cumulative top 5. Tommy Witt has moved up to first with 3,007. John Etwitzel is in second with 2,925. Chloe Yunker, who we have not heard much from lately here, is also tied with John with 2,925.
Hockey season, you see?
I know.
Hockey season, she's lost interest.
She has fallen short on the priorities here. David James is in third with 2,865. Chad Robb is in fourth with 2,840. And Mick Rose wrapping out the top 5 cumulative with 2,832.
I smell foul play there. The man that does the points is in the top 5.
I love
at
it.
At least he's not winning. At least he's not making it obvious.
He is not. That's true. He's flying low on the radar.
That's it.
All right. Our picks for Vegas. I had Cole Custer in the Xfinity Series who finished 14th. You guys had Junior who finished 4th. And over in the Cup Series, we each had Joey Logano, who finished 14th. So you guys were able to pick up a little bit of ground there on me. Nice job with that junior pick. And like I said, had you listened to the show, you would have known he was eligible.
So I feel really guilty, but, you know. What can I do?
I had to give you crap for that just because it was so perfect. You throw a softball, I gotta hit it.
I don't blame you. We deserved it.
Yes. Now,
deserved it.
Before we get to the picks that I know David's put me on blast for all season in terms of the format for this year, I will be looking for input for next season. Be on the lookout. I'm probably going to do like a Survey Monkey kind of thing, that those that are playing, I will, send a link to, the survey in an email to everybody. Tell me what you liked, what you didn't like. Do you want a whole new format? Do you like all three series? Do you want just Cup? You know, I want your feedback, for next year to make it bigger and better. But keep in mind, it's time consuming for tracking things. Like if, you know, oh, you can only pick so many drivers each, you know, or something like that, that becomes time consuming. And I've been very fortunate that Mick has donated a lot of time, this year to help with keeping track of everything. And I'm very grateful to Mick, and hopefully I can convince him to do it again next year. But that said, over the next couple of weeks, start thinking about a format change. If there's anything you guys would like to see changed in the Fantasy League for next year. And if you aren't playing in the league this year, but would like to play in it next year and you've got an idea, hit me up on the contact page on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Send me a message and I will gladly hear what you guys have to say. So I am a man of the people. I am a man of the people. So
are you going to put points tariffs on your international players?
No, just shipping charges. All righty, sir. Are you ready to get to the picks for this weekend?
Yes, certainly am.
All right, we go Roval Racing this weekend. First time racing in an oval with a road course mixed in, a 2.28 mile oval at Charlotte. There's no notebook. This is the one, folks. There isn't anything to get a full comparison on. You can't just look at Watkins Glen. You can't look at Sonoma. You can't look at Charlotte. It is completely different. We'll be racing three stages at 25, 25, and 59 laps. You know, I like to look for trends with my pick segment, but there aren't any. Last race of round one, Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Harvick, Truex are a lock. 13 guys are going to try to make history to keep their playoff dreams alive this weekend at Charlotte. That's it. That's all I got from a stats perspective. There's nothing. We don't have any yet. So that said, let's get to the picks. Andrew, who has the MOATF podcast selected for the Xfinity Series?
Ross Chastain, because we're now his biggest fans.
I like that. I am going with Mr. Elliot Sadler. It's a Roval race. You need consistency, and who better than Mr. Consistency?
That is true.
Over to the Cup race. Who has the MOATF podcast selected?
We're going big or going home. We're going for Denny Hamlin because he's got to win, and he's good on road courses.
Ooh, I like that pick. No AJ Allmendinger?
No, we're going for Hamlin. Denny Hamlin's got to win.
All right, I told you I was going to get to my decision whether or not Jimmy Johnson was going to win a race in 2018.
You're going for Jimmy Johnson.
If Jimmy Johnson does not win the Roval, he will go winless in 2018. So I am going with Jimmy Johnson this week. So,
well, I hope that you're right.
Those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to be a wrap for episode 92 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, do what you got to do. Don't forget about the contest at 3,500 followers on Twitter. Big thanks to Andrew from the MOATF Podcast. Andrew, where could everybody find you guys at?
Oh, we're everywhere these days. We're like a rash. We are in. We're on Twitter at MOATF Podcast. We're at MOATF Esports.
At least you're not like an STD.
Yeah, I'm at FitRacer28. The website's MOATF.com. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. We're everywhere.
Excellent.
Just Google it. We will turn up eventually.
Excellent. Everyone, don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!